Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Hi, guys. My name is Stephanie Epidaly, and this is Edge of Indy. We're here live. I am with Tom Broadbrick. He's going to make sure that I don't blow anything up or make anything go really bad.
Hence, take two.
Yes. Aaron is sick, so you're without him today. Like I said, it's going to be really, really awesome, or it's going to just burn to the ground. So we'll see what happens. With us in studio, we have Carolyn Hoy. I get it?
Yeah.
And she is with Flight One. How are you today?
I'm great, although for the record, we avoid burning to the ground analogies.
Oh,
true.
Good call. That was not good.
We will soar to new heights.
We are soaring to new heights today. So if you can, follow us on Edge of Indy. We're on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram as well. And follow Flight One, and it's all like Flight One, the number one, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So, Carolyn, since Marcus is not here, he's the guy who kind of started Flight One. If you could give us a little bit of background information on that, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So Marcus's story is really incredible. He grew up learning to fly with his father, who was a commercial pilot. And he got his private pilot license when I think he was about 16 years old.
I didn't think anybody could fly. That's kind of weird that they can fly. But I also know that you can fly and not have a driver's license.
Yes.
That is true, which I thought was really kind of weird. But anyway, go ahead.
So flash forward like 15 years or however many years, Marcus is an adult. He has two kids of his own, and he received a terminal cancer diagnosis.
Oh, no.
For 6 months, he was pretty sure he had a few years to live and thought back to what provided confidence for him when he was a kid and how he could provide that for his children if he weren't around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to his mind was learning to fly. Well, the good news is the diagnosis was completely wrong. He's fine. He's here today, healthy.
That's awesome. But I mean, what a thing to get wrong, right?
Absolutely.
That's not really something you want to get wrong.
Although I guess it's better than it being right.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
So that was, in the short story, his motivation for founding Flight One is he wanted to find a way to provide confidence for kids when their families are impacted by a health challenge. And that's that's our mission.
And you guys not only do children, but you also do, well, you do this for children, but you also do it not because they have life-threatening illnesses, but also if they have a significant loss in the family, like a family member passes away or if they're inflicted with some type of illness, you guys let the kids go as well, right?
Exactly. And that's a big distinction we have to make very often. It's not only for children who are ill. It's for siblings. It's for, you know, maybe none of the children have had any health challenge, but they've lost a parent or a parent has had a health challenge, because we know that, you know, having life become so out of your control really takes a hit on a child's confidence, even if it's not them personally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it affects the people around you so much. My sister was diagnosed with breast cancer last year, and it hit us so hard. I mean, first of all, you just can't imagine, you know, she's like the healthiest person I know. And she was 29, but you just can't imagine how it affects the entire family until something like that happens. So that's amazing. So you just get the kids in there and you just tell them to go, right? I mean, that's how it works. You just push the button, you're good to go.
Yeah, you know, we just like to turn them loose in an airplane.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I figured, so.
Well, the way it works generally is they are referred to our website by various routes, which we can talk about later, and they fill out a really simple form. How old are the children? What's the health impact that's affecting the family? And then we would call them and schedule them for their first flight simulator event.
So you guys have like one of those flight simulator things too?
Yeah.
Right now we're using flight simulator time that's donated by Vincennes University.
Okay.
At the airport?
Yes. They have an aviation technology center out at the international airport, and they allow us very generously to use their simulator for however many hours a month. And we find that the simulator is a really nice sort of first step for the kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, maybe no one in their families ever flown even commercially.
Right. I was going to say, maybe they've never even flown on an airplane or anything.
So jumping right in a little 4-seat Cessna and taking off might be a little intimidating
at first.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Can I do this? Can I come? I want to do
Absolutely. It. Yeah, we're always happy to have observers, and that's something I want to work on this year, is sort of an introductory day for adults to see what it is that we do with the kids.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. We've had a few children who have finished. It's a 3-year program. And then when they finish, we'd like to bring them back as ambassadors to tell the adults or tell kids who are just starting the program.
You guys are a 3-year program?
Wow.
Or Vincennes is a 3-year
program? We are.
Mm-hmm. You are? Yeah. Really?
Cool.
So the first year, they'll do a flight simulator and an airplane flight during the day. The second year, they do like an evening dusk flight simulator and flight. And then their third year, they actually do what we call a cross country, which is where they fly to another airport and back.
Oh,
no way.
That's cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So are they like, are we talking Fort Wayne or are we talking?
Generally, we go to the Grissom Air Force Base.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty good haul.
Right?
Yes. No, that's further north of the Peru area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's a pretty good length of time.
Yeah.
That's a good flight.
Since we're all about building confidence, we start out kind of simple with the daytime, and then the night's a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then they really get to feel like they're out on the open road, so to speak, when we do the cross country.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would be so cool.
That would be so cool.
So how many kids have gone through the program?
Completed it, I would say about.
Or how many flights have you given?
Gosh, I don't know that number off the top of my head. We have about 70 active families right now.
Cool.
And our goal is to be over 100 in the next year.
Wow.
So.
Okay, in the next year.
That's a lot of coordination and flight capacity. It's going to be really exciting to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally have a private pilot license that I
got
when I was like 21. So
wow.
I just love getting to see the kids experience, what I remember too. So
that is amazing. So you just decide, that's just never like come into my head that I want to fly. I was like singing in my head this morning the theme from Peter Pan. I know I'm crazy, but I can fly. We can fly.
Yeah. I thought you were going Space Jam.
No, I was not going Space Jam. No. No, but I just thought, it's like what you're describing. I just never thought as a kid, I think I might want to fly. I think I might want to like get in an airplane and fly. That's just kind of cool.
I don't think I ever did either until I went to Purdue for college. And they have so many student pilots there that, if you're sitting out on campus on a sunny day, they're just circling overhead constantly almost.
So were you in aviation?
I started out as a PR major. Uh-huh. And then once I kind of learned about some of the aviation careers, I majored in aviation administration technology. And then one summer, I worked at Crawfordsville Airport.
Cool.
Pumping gas for airplanes and then taking flight lessons in the evenings. So.
That's got to be, what's that like? Pumping gas into an airplane? I'm imagining like this huge,
like a NASCAR tank thing.
Yeah.
it was a really fun job because you just never know who's going to fly in, what kind of airplane they're going to have. They, are enthusiasts about what they do. So a lot of times they'd be like, get in, I'll take you for a ride in this biplane and go upside down or helicopter or whatever. I got to ride in so many really interesting.
You're talking like
aircraft.
Tom Cruise, like what do you call it? What is that movie?
Top Gun,
right. Yes.
Almost that cool. So close.
Wow. So Vincennes like gives you guys they donate their time or whatever to you guys. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
My son actually my stepson goes to Vincennes. He wants to be a helicopter pilot.
Oh, great.
So he's out there a lot.
How do people get involved? Do you reach out to them or do they reach out to you or
How does that process work?
We generally get referrals from other nonprofits that work with children. For example, Brooks Place is a really big referral for us. They are a nonprofit that's for children who are grieving, who have lost a family member. And so a lot of times we'll get referrals from there, various cancer support groups. Say one of the children goes through our program, then their parents are with that specific group, whatever kind of cancer it might be, and then they're talking about it. And next thing we know, we have three more families from that nonprofit signing up with us.
So do you do work with the Make-A-Wish Foundation? Have you ever hooked up with those guys or no?
We don't work with them formally, but we've had several families that participate in Make-A-Wish also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, again, something that we often have to clarify about us is that we aren't a Make-A-Wish program, and we're not only for sick children, you know, the whole family or...
That's what's really cool about you guys, I think, is just a huge differentiator. That's really cool. Plus, it's a longer process with an actual experience. I mean, you get great experience. Yeah. It's not just a one-time thing, which is really cool. And I'm sure it's something that, you know, I mean, the kids will remember and the families remember forever. So
yes, that's very important to us that it's not an airplane ride, you know. Right. We don't want them to be passive, you know, participants in it. We want them to actually feel that they have accomplished something. So it's not just about, oh, let's do something fun for an hour and then that's it. The 3 years is very intentional to build on their experience year after year and increase that sense of accomplishment.
So, like, how long, say a kid, you get referred a kid or a family, how long do they have to wait before you guys actually engage with them?
We try to talk to them right away and schedule them as soon as possible. Because we're growing, we have had a little bit of capacity problems with, you know, getting people through the simulator and that kind of thing. My long-term goal is for us to buy our own full-motion flight simulator.
Oh, that would be awesome. Then you could just do it whenever, on your own terms.
We could make our capacity whatever we're able to have sign up. So
that's awesome. So is there any cost to the family at all for this?
There's no cost to the families for all 3 years.
All 3 years.
Wow. We estimate each child costs about $1,000 per year of programming.
Per year, okay. So I didn't know how much like the cost would be. I think it said something like $500 on your website. I don't know. Anyway,
So you have 70 students. So it seems like donations are a big part of what you guys need. So how can people donate? And
donations are absolutely what makes our programming possible right now. We also do a lot of corporate sponsorships, which is something that I'm building a lot this year. I'm actually the first full-time employee, or first executive director at least.
Cool. Nice.
So that's been really exciting.
How long have you been with them?
March will be my 1 year.
Great. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So you can donate on our website, which is flight1.org. We also do a few events throughout the year, of course, fundraising through those. In March, we're doing Brackets for Good, which you may have heard about.
Yes.
That's a lot of fun. It's a Final Four style fundraising competition of other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you'll have to let us know because we will definitely spread the word for you guys that, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
yes.
super fun. Now, where is Brackets for Good? Where are you having it?
It's conducted online, but each round of the competition concludes at 8 p.m. on a Friday. So we're planning events most likely at St. Joseph's Brewery.
Okay. Oh, right down the street.
Yeah.
We're big fans. We like their food.
One of our board members, her family owns that. So,
We should have them on the show, too.
We should.
We should. That would be great business to have on. We want to have like some fun happy hour events where you can watch the results coming in real time and people can get online and donate to try to tip us over into the next round of.
We should get like a site strategics team.
Yeah.
There we go.
And do like a little competition.
There we go.
We don't like bragging rights around here at all, right?
at all.
We're not into that at all.
Yes. We would love that. So that's one fun way to, you know, help us raise money throughout the year. We also do like a family hangar movie night where we watch a movie outdoors or
out
in an airplane.
Out the hangar. That's cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I want to do that too.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
August, we have a home beer brewer competition.
Now you're talking Caleb Dan's language.
All right. It's a really fun event where we have home beer brewers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, that's
home brewers.
Yes. Home brewers.
Enter a competition, and then we invite, you know, all of our supporters and volunteers and whoever wants to come to do like a tasting, and we vote on our favorite ones. And then in the past, we've had a brewery produce the winning beer.
Oh, that's really, totally Caleb Dan.
Yeah.
And
the
proceeds to Flight Wine for selling that particular beer. So.
Right on. That's really cool. Yeah. You guys have got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
I
definitely want to do the simulator thing.
Yeah, that definitely.
And I definitely wanted to do the movie thing.
You want to get in the flight simulator?
Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I would totally do that.
One really fun thing we do with that with the kids is it's pretty realistic geographically, so you can pick anywhere in the world that you want to fly.
Oh.
Tokyo, Las Vegas,
that's cool.
London, and it will pull up, you know, the general skyline and the major landmarks of that area.
Wow.
So the kids always like that. Sometimes I've learned that on the simulator you can fly under the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, wow.
You can fly through the arch at St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
None of these things are advisable in real life.
None of those things. We don't recommend you do any of those things at all.
Right.
That's really
probably
cool.
Probably illegal also, but You can see the fireworks at Las Vegas at night if you do the night flying. There's all kinds of fun destinations you can explore with that. I'm sure there's lots I haven't even seen yet because depending on what the kids pick.
Kids, their imaginations can just go wild, right? I mean, they can just think of anything.
It's funny, though, because, you know, a lot of times you'll ask them, where do you want to go? Anywhere in the whole world. And they'll think for a minute and they'll say, Milwaukee. Yeah.
They're like Brewers fans. We want to go to Milwaukee.
I have an uncle that lives in Dubuque, Iowa. Let's go there, you know? And it's like,
wow, that's
okay. Cool.
But that's the whole point, right? Is they have control, and they're the ones who get to decide, and we just go with it.
Cool. So the process, they get connected with you, and they start out with the flight simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's after the flight simulator?
Within a month or two, we want to keep it fresh in their mind. We will do the actual flight. And so we usually fly from either Indy Regional, which is out by Mount Comfort.
Okay.
Sometimes we do Indy Executive, which is in Zionsville. If there are any airport managers out there, we're open to going any other airports. And so we have a flight instructor. I meet them there at the airport. I'll go over the sectional maps, kind of point out, you might see this railroad track, or, you know, here's which direction the skyline of Indianapolis would be in.
Okay.
Talk about the weather.
Yeah.
We do a pre-flight check of the airplane, walk around, and I kind of show them, you know, how to check the fuel sumps and all these things. And then they get in there with the flight instructor and usually a parent in the back seat, and they go flying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
How cool is that?
That is so cool.
They actually sit in the left seat, which in aviation world is considered the pilot in command.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
That's a special designation.
That's really cool. Do they have do you guys have pins or like a little flight jacket?
Yeah.
Man.
Each year they get a different pin.
Oh, wow.
And after every flight, they sign our logbook because when they sit in the left seat, you know, obviously it's not applicable to a license, but even the flight simulator is considered by the FAA to be actual flight time.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and we write in there, you know, which airport they pick on the flight simulator, if it's Las Vegas or whatever. We put the airport code in there and they sign their names. And each year they also get a certificate along with their different colored pin. So
that is so cool.
So the flight simulator to the what do you call that stage? You just a co-pilot or second stage, and then is there like a final, or is that considered like the last stage, or is there a third stage where they're kind of doing it more on themselves, by themselves?
We call it, so the program is called the Courageous Flyers.
Okay.
So we have Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie.
Gotcha.
Each year.
That makes sense.
They finish their Bravo simulator or their Alpha simulator, uh-huh. Alpha flight.
Okay.
Whatever year they happen to be on, so.
That is so cool.
That is cool.
We'd like to try to do more things throughout the year, more as a group. For example, we've done aviation days where we take a trip to Purdue or try to add in some extra aviation related activities. But the simulator and the flight are very personalized. It's just that family for the entire hour.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They're not in a group. They're not taking turns with mm-hmm. other kids that they don't know.
So do you have multiple families doing this on one day, so you can kind of get some of them, you know?
Yeah, we usually do two a night.
Okay.
Because you never quite know, you know, sometimes there's more or fewer more siblings or whatever. It can take a different amount of time. I wouldn't want to stack them too tightly.
Mm-hmm. And
the nice thing about that, too, is if we have a family where a child has maybe a physical disability a cognitive delay, we can tailor the experience for them. Maybe, you know, we've had children who aren't physically able to fly, or maybe they're scared, so they might just taxi around the airport and never leave the ground if mm-hmm. that's what would be the most confidence building for that child. Sometimes if they aren't physically able to get in the flight simulator, we've had the local airlines open up their like cabin simulators mm-hmm. where we take them on like a commercial plane or something like that.
Oh, cool. That's really nice that you can tailor it and customize it to whatever the child is most comfortable
Absolutely.
With. That's really cool.
Do you have a favorite story of a child
yeah.
or a favorite moment and doing your job in this last
year? Oh my goodness, so many. I think one of my favorites was a kid who was in the flight simulator, and he was really just a natural. We were all kind of amazed. He was able to do the landings almost all by himself.
Oh my
That's
God.
The toughest part.
I was
going to
say, I didn't even think about the landing part.
The landing's
That's not
tough.
Good. Yeah.
Yes. And then he was, I think, the one who went under the Golden Gate Bridge. And during that part, I could see, you know, he's concentrating so hard, like, you know, just almost shaking. He's so excited. And then he stood up to jump out of the flight simulator, and he goes, "Whew, I feel like my hair ought to be messed up." So cute.
Nailed it.
It was
that
so
was
realistic
amazing.
To him sitting in the flight simulator that he thought, you know.
That's so cool. That is so cool. So if somebody wanted to get involved with you guys, how would they volunteer? Do you guys need volunteers right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Me and Tom are going to sign up now.
Yep. I love it. Me being the only employee, I definitely need volunteers to help me fill a lot of gaps, really. Anything from people who like to do event planning, if you like to ask for silent auction items from businesses, if you have graphic design skills and can help me make up flyers. From there, we could go to, you know, accounting services, people who know anything about education and curriculum building. We're always looking to improve our programming mm-hmm. year to year, mm-hmm. grant writing. I could go on for quite a while.
Forever.
Okay.
cool.
Just tweet something out every day of something you need, and we'll try and get it filled for
idea.
You.
Right now,
we
really,
need this today. Yeah.
The thing I'm finding most helpful is just introductions. You know,
okay.
if you know
mm-hmm.
people who are involved with other nonprofits, people involved with young professional volunteer groups mm-hmm. who might have someone with free time that they want to get involved with us.
I know somebody right now off the top of my
head.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Cool.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Business networking for corporate sponsorships. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Anyone in the aviation field who, you know, knows people at the other airports, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We can always work out events there if we have a hangar movie night in a different airport
cool.
or things like that. So
the hangar movie night thing sounds like a lot of fun.
It does. That sounds like a fun night.
It does sound like
do you watch the movie Planes, I'm guessing?
You know,
or are they
we did.
Aeronautical related?
We We did, but it is, I'm learning while I try to plan this event, very tricky to work with Disney.
Disney, yeah. You have to have a waiver or something.
They're not in the...
No.
It's in the vault right now, so you cannot watch planes for a while.
We know all about the vault.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what we're going to show for our next one.
Cool.
Probably not airplane.
No, not for the kids.
No, that would be fun. Yeah. You could do an adult night.
Say if it was adults, I'm sure there's plenty of airplane
beer tasting airplane event. Yeah. That sounds good.
That
I like it. Yes. What else? What other? I don't know what movie they could do. Yeah, the Disney thing is kind of in the vault.
It is. I have run across that with just like churches and everything.
Yes. Just,
they can't display Disney movies.
Mm-hmm. You can't even do it on the download, can you? They probably have Disney police running around
maybe
everywhere.
Well, we would never do such a thing anyway.
No.
That's right.
No, we would never do that. Okay, cool.
So, I don't remember if we said it. What are the age ranges? Can they be how young to how old and that thing?
We keep that pretty broad. We say 5 to 18, but we've had people who started in high school and maybe didn't finish by 18, and of course, we let them come back and finish their 3 years. I think we've even probably had a sibling that was 4 or something like that. But we find that at that age, they're not really going to gain the confidence building aspect of it so much. So generally 5 to 18.
Gotcha.
Just more of an experience type of thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, volunteers.
You know, volunteers, yeah, donations. We'll go over donations again towards the end.
Yes.
You mentioned one story. Was there another story that you had of a kid that you guys always talk about around at the office or at events? Or is there one you're so excited to see every time?
Yeah, there's a lot of those. There's a little boy named Braden who... Yeah. Is actually really involved with the University of Indianapolis soccer team. He's like their designated, I think he's been given a number for the team and gets to go out on the field for the start of the game and all kinds of things like that. He's also been involved with Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. And he's just a really cool kid who's always excited, always happy. You know, he's had health challenges of his own and you would never... feel that he lacked confidence in any way, which we are grateful to be a part of that journey. I find that I oftentimes will end up talking to the parents off to the side while the children are doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just always so touching to me when the parents tell me, oh, they were really struggling this week. They have been really missing their dad. They're struggling at school. Whatever it is that is the side effect of the challenge affecting their family, and to hear them say they've been looking forward to this so much. They've been talking about this for weeks after their last flight. They told everybody that they knew about it. I personally have lost a child to illness and have other children, and so I just... I'm really honored to be able to give those kids something to look forward to and be excited about and feel proud of. And it's just such a amazing experience to hear those parents tell you that you have given their child something bright in their
day. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've volunteered for Make-A-Wish for years and hearing those kinds of stories. And it's amazing, and I'm sure you feel this as well, but the resiliency of children and just being able to go and do things. You know, Chris Thyssen, you know, his daughter Emily, she is always she's got this smile on her face and she's so sweet. And it's like, man, I spilled coffee on my shirt and I'm mad, you know? How do they always just like so bright and so happy? And I know even when they're struggling, they seem to make the best out of every situation. It's really amazing.
It is amazing. And I think that's something special about our programming too, is that the kids can forget about whatever else is happening in their lives for a while. You know, even though maybe they seem better at that than adults anyway, it's something special to know that you have given them something that has occupied every bit of their concentration for at least an hour and helped them to forget about anything else that might be going on.
And it's so cool that you guys do it for 3 years instead of just a one-time deal. I mean, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you become a part of their lives and part of their family.
Have any of your kids gone on to actually get their license?
Not that I'm aware of, but we're only 5 years old. So yeah. I think that's a possibility. We get a lot of kids who say that they want to pursue aviation as a career some way after that. So I think that'll be really fun to see in another 5 years how the kids are impacted by this in the longer term.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Very, very cool. Well, any more questions? Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything else you always like to ask? If there's anything else you'd like to
anything. You can say cover. Anything. Really. Anything. Aaron's not here, so we can say whatever we'd like.
I guess I would just encourage people to not underestimate how much a little bit of time, a little bit of a donation, a little bit of spreading the word on social media can make such a huge difference, especially for a small nonprofit like us.
Every dollar counts. Every minute that you volunteer, every retweet helps. Everything.
Every introduction, every
share.
Absolutely.
Everything helps. So we will definitely be spreading the word here at Site Strategics and Edge of Indy.
Yep.
We will do your website is www.flight1. That's the number 1.org. On Twitter, you can find them at flight1.org, and they're on Facebook and Instagram as well is flight1.org. It has been so nice to have you in studio.
Wow, yeah.
I appreciate it so much. I really do. I really want to do like the brackets for good thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun thing. I always see on the social media around NCAA time. So we'll definitely check it out this year.
Are the finals here this year or no?
I think there's like a first round, second round games this year.
So it'll be crowded.
And the women's Big Ten.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, you'll be hearing from us about
good
brackets for good for sure. Good.
Definitely. What else is today? Oh, today is Betty White's 95th birthday. So I'm going to do a shout out for Bobby
Happy
Betty
birthday,
White.
Betty.
Thanks for hanging on for us, Betty. We appreciate it.
She's how old?
95.
Oh, okay. 95. Wow.
That was some kind of life, right? Right? She's a pretty amazing lady. Let me think. That's it. I mean, man, how'd I do, Tom?
That's pretty good.
Was it good?
Yeah,
okay,
good.
All right.
Wonderful.
Let me know any way I can help, seriously. And we look forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you so much.
We will be around.
Okay.
You've got a partner in us, so
wonderful.
You're good to go.
Thank you.
All right. I think we're good.
Yep.
Later. Be good, Indy.